my goal is to, if I ever am trying to be humorous, to do better at being humorous and not do it in a way that makes people feel like I just called them stupid. Hey everybody, Nathan Bechtold with Take on the Lake and Lake Expo, recording a Sunday evening short episode of Take on the Lake, and I'll explain why in just a moment. So thanks for, I guess you're probably not watching this on a Sunday evening, but that's when I'm recording it. So this past week, a lot of big things happened in Camden County. The biggest thing that happened was that people showed up to a Camden County Commission meeting to vote, or not to vote, but to express their concerns about a possible data center construction in Camden County. I put out a video about that on Friday. That video was not particularly well received. Actually, this is not true. Some people thought the video was humorous, which is largely was my intent. It articulated something I felt like was happening that was kind of a side issue underneath the data. So you can go back and watch it if you want to. But some folks, people who I know and like and we have a great relationship, said that they felt that the video was that it didn't land right, that it was talking down to people or downplaying people's concerns, condescending. Some people said I called everyone stupid. I didn't call anybody stupid, but I understand why. In looking back on it, I think I see why it came across that way. So this is actually my attempt to say that to those folks in particular, I am sorry for the way that that video landed. That actually was not what I was trying to do with that video. And I may talk about that briefly in a moment, but I don't want that to get in the way of me saying that genuinely I apologize to those folks who thought that that video was saying something that I didn't mean for it to say, namely that I think that the people who showed up to the meeting are stupid or totally deceived, or that the concerns that they actually have about data centers are invalid, because I don't actually think of any of those things. Now, there are some folks who I'm not sure if they don't like me or they think that I'm not a good faith actor or something, and they think that all my opinions are bought and paid for. And I don't know that me saying anything is really going to convince those people. So that's fine. But to the folks that are friends of mine and who either showed up to the meeting or have genuine concerns about the data center, I want to say that I really don't think that those people are stupid. And I apologize to those who felt that that short video I put out conveyed it that way. But my goal in that video actually, or the reason I recorded that, was a series of things that happened to me that may or may not have happened to other people, but that led me to want to express some concerns that I had. And frankly, I wanted to do it in a way that was sort of tongue-in-cheek. In short, someone had sent me a video a few weeks ago or a month ago or something, about data centers. And it was this very alarmist kind of video that was made clearly using AI. And the more I looked into this video, the more I wasn't – it didn't substantiate any of its claims. It felt very built to stir up fear in people like that. And again, you know, and everybody – sees this, like the way that the algorithm, right, works on YouTube and social media and all these things, is the algorithm feeds on rage and fear, right? I mean, these are the things that feed the algorithm. And we all have like a very love-hate relationship, probably hate more than love, with that reality. The algorithm feeds on hate and fear. And so this is why people will respond to things and go, this is rage bait, right, to a post or a video or whatever. And that's all that means is that things that feed off of hate and fear tend to do better and better and better and better. And that was what I felt like was happening with that video. The video had over 500,000 views. And my impression was, I think this video and or things like it are influencing a lot of people. Now, again, a lot of folks then took the way I expressed that opinion to mean none of the people who have an opinion opposing a data center have come to that on their own and have done any research at all, but rather they watched this one video, came to a meeting, and torpedoed this data center. That is not what I meant, but I can understand why that's more or less how it sounded. I was using some hyperbole, again, some tongue-in-cheek in that video, and I know that that's how it came across. So anyways, enough of my explanation about what I was trying to do with that video and what precipitated me recording it. I mean, I know some people had watched it, but I've heard a lot of people say, well, I didn't watch that video. I'm concerned about it for this or that reason. So let's talk about, just for a moment, what those concerns, the way I see it, the concerns are that people have about a potential data center. There are probably a handful, at least, of concerns that I've seen, read. And again, data centers, I know a lot of people have been aware of these for a while. I've been watching these. In fact, there was a post a little while back on X, and it was about a woman, I think she was in Kentucky, and they refused to sell the family farm that they'd been in their family for who knows how many generations to a group that wanted to build a data center there. And this was a major thing. Like, these people were getting a lot of praise from a lot of people for not selling the family farm. Me being one of them, I thought, yeah, you know what? Hold on to the family farm. Don't sell out, right? I noticed, though, in the comments, some people going, hey, you know, your county would get a ton of tax revenue off of this. Well, again, I'm not really moved by that argument when it comes to these folks and their generational family farm. They have no obligation to sell that, and I think you ought to keep the family land, right? This is literally quite what I've done here at the lake. My family has been at the lake for, I think, over 100 years, and my family lives on land that my family has had here for a really long time, a house that my grandpa built in the 50s. So I'm all about that. So I'm aware of the data center drama that's been playing out in the U.S. for some years now. The data centers have been a thing for quite a while, but they've become a really big thing as AI has escalated because it uses so much processing power. Again, I'm sorry if I'm saying something that you already know, right? But trying to lay that out, that's the reality. And so this drama has been kind of unfolding across the country for several years now. And what you're seeing is communities grappling with, what are we going to do with a data center showing, or with a group that wants to buy a piece of property and build a data center here, because we have no framework for that. We've heard a lot of scary things about them. And again, I'm not even saying those things are wrong. I'm just saying people are going, we've heard a lot of scary things about them. We have never seen one, or maybe I've seen a video of it, but I've never encountered one. These are new, and so I don't have any sense of how they're going to impact where I live, my community, and so on, for the positive or the negative or whatever. And again, then some of the largeness of these, they raise a lot of concerns. And so you see cities and counties beginning to grapple with, okay, well, wait, what are we going to do here? And this is what we literally saw play out in Camden County last week. The county passed an ordinance on Tuesday, very in a kind of hurried fashion, because they recognized the potential for data center development. Again, I think it's important to say that it's potential. I've never heard that there was a guarantee that in this particular development that these folks want to do in Camdenton, that they were definitely going to do one. I think it was a consideration, but I've not ever heard that it was, yeah, this is definitely going to happen. That may be, you know, a moot point. But so the county passed this really extremely tight list of parameters for a data center. You can't outright outlaw these, but what you can do is create a lot of strict parameters for it. So that's what the county did on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, the county was going to be having a vote on whether to recommend this particular area for an opportunity zone. And that's when everybody showed up, because they were concerned that this opportunity zone would result in a data center being built there. So again, that's the backdrop, and that's what played out in Camden County. But that has been playing out in counties across the country. And so hear me saying that I think that's a big deal. I think that important questions need to be asked about these things that are coming into communities. And I think it's wise to ask important questions. So that's where I am on these, and I'll just articulate briefly what I think are a couple of the biggest issues and questions that I think Camden County and the Lake area, and probably just communities generally, need to address as they look at the reality of data centers. Now, let me just say, some folks are no data center, never, not here. I mean, I guess, I don't know if some of those people would say not anywhere. Some folks might say, not anywhere, let's go to an era before data centers. But I think a lot of people would say, no data center here, they can build them somewhere else, we don't want them here. I've seen that expressed. That's a fine opinion. You're certainly, you know, welcome to have that opinion. And I, you know, maybe that plays out fine. I think that there are other folks who would go, well, I have these specific concerns about a data center, and at least theoretically, if I got good answers to those – I might at least consider being okay with one around here, right? Again, there's a lot of, you know, related concerns here, you know, property rights, people, you know, somebody buys a place, are they allowed to do what they want to do with it? Most folks would say yes, but, you know, not in a way that harms their neighbor, right, or that has a really deleterious effect on their community. And so those are all things that are kind of like swirling around with this, right? But let me articulate a couple of the concerns as I've seen them. I think they fall into two big buckets. And again, I know that there are others, but two big buckets. The first one is power usage. And the second one is water usage. And then maybe the third one would be something like pollution. So I'll just mention these three really briefly. The first one is power usage. Data centers use an enormous amount of power because the high-tech computers and things that are in there that are processing, like I said, your AI request to write a Mother's Day poem for your mom, right, or whatever it is, they are using a ton of compute power, right? And so that uses a ton of electricity. So there have been, I believe there have been some communities where a data center has been built that have seen power bills go up because just the law of supply and demand, right? There's a certain supply of power and the power bill has gone up because a major demand for that power arrived in the data center, right? So this is actually also a problem that I think we ought to be aware of because we don't have utilities providers that have done a particularly good job of expanding our power grid while also preserving the aspects of it that are really historically reliable. This is a separate rant, but I've done these rants already. And this is about how Ameren and companies like it have been systematically dismantling our coal power infrastructure. That's a real concern. And I've talked about that concern before. And so, and dismantling to the point, and again, a while back, and I might have to pull this video up, but I wrote about this, interviewed a VP from Ameren a while back, who I was asking him about the shuttering of one particular coal power plant and the potential effects it would have on our energy grid regionally and all this. And my question to him was, are you planning on mothballing this so that it could be redeployed if, like, you know, demand grows and we need this power? And he said, no, we're dismantling it. And that was shocking. So that's a real concern. Like, the power concern is a real one. Some communities are experiencing that in terms of higher rates. That's at least what I've seen. I do not think that that has happened with all communities, though, and I'm still kind of reading and learning about this. I think most folks are, right? This is a relatively recent phenomenon, so all of us are kind of going, what is going on? What are these? What do they do? All that. So some communities, I don't think, have experienced this, and this the hike in power rates or use, and I think that this probably has come from a couple of different things. One is various contractual things that are required maybe by the governing entity, like county or whatever, that their usage of power, maybe that the I'm a little speculative on this, but I think this is the way some of it is gamed out, that the data center would have to pay a higher power rate so that it doesn't affect the rate for others. Again, in Missouri, power rates are actually – well, so if you're under like Ameren, power rates are regulated by the state, right? So that's a whole nother layer. But other data centers – have actually begun, to my understanding, generating some of their own power. I don't know exactly what the plan was at the potential data center that was being discussed in Camden County, but I think that that was part of it. And regardless of whether or not it was part of it, it would have had to have been part of it because the county commission actually passed that ordinance saying, in part, that that data center would have to generate its own power. It, actually, the ordinance, I think, required 110% of its peak power needs the data center would have to generate. How are they going to do that? Well, that would be their problem to solve, right? Solar, probably. I don't know if they could create natural gas generators, if they had natural gas pipelines going out there. I'm not sure if that would work there, possibly. Batteries for the solar, maybe some wind, maybe some other things. But that was one, that's one concern, is the power thing. And how's that going to affect normal folks, right? And I think that that's a question that should be answered. Maybe there will never be a data center here in Camden County, but if there were going to be one, that should be a question that's answered. And for one that's being built anywhere, you guys are going to use massive amounts of power. And for better or worse, we all kind of buy power from one central supplier. So how's that going to affect us? I think the other main question, I guess we'll go the two others, is water. What is going to be the effect on water. And this is the video that I referenced earlier. It goes into that in particular, and that you see this concern raised a lot. Some data centers, so the computers in a data center use a lot of electricity to do the compute power, to do the computing work. And using that electricity creates a lot of heat. So even on your laptop or, you know, various other electronic, you know, computers and things, they get hot when you're really processing a lot of stuff, right? Streaming a lot of videos or playing video games or whatever it is, they get hot. And some of them have fans built into them, right? So on a really small scale, we all experience this. But in a massive data center, you know, maybe hundreds of thousands of square feet and it's full of computers, you get a ton of heat generated there within, right? So what do they do with that? They have to cool those machines. One of the ways, this is not actually the only way from my understanding, but one of the ways is through water cooling. And actually the computer nerds that you know all about this because they like have a water cooled computer already. I have a friend who I will not name, but he built his own water cooled computer. And so it's that on a mega scale. And they use water to cool them. Some of those water cooling systems are sort of open air systems, I think. Again, I don't exactly know the engineering of all these, but I know that some of them are closed systems. In other words, they circulate water in closed tubes through these computers, and then the water draws out the heat, and then it goes out and cools somewhere through a cooling cycle, and then it recirculates it. So the amount of water used up actually, and again, what used up means is sort of a weird term, right? Water, I mean, it's not pulverized into atoms, right? Or, you know, it's a hydrogen and oxygen. It's even water that is, you know, quote, used up would either be discharged or it would evaporate. But in those closed loop systems, what I've learned, they're very different from some of the open systems. The open ones use a ton of water. And the closed ones use some water on a like an ongoing basis, but not a whole lot, and maybe not even, you know, maybe comparable to like somebody opening a couple of car washes or something like that. Like it's some water, or a water park or something like that. There's water used, but it's not, you know, it's not sucking the aquifer dry, for example, or sucking the lake dry or whatever it is. Which again, they wouldn't be allowed to draw out of the lake anyways. So, but that's a genuine concern. And I think anybody who lives in the real world and lives in a community is right to express that concern. Here's an example of why that concern is valid. So like I said, my folks, my family has lived here for 100 years or maybe more. I've had a hard time now tracing back when we first arrived here. But my grandpa built a house the house that I still live in, raise my kids in, on our family land in the early 1950s. Little house, and on some acreage that had been in the family a long time. He built a house and drilled a well there. At the time, I don't remember how deep the well is. I'm not even going to say the number because it'll be way wrong and I'll sound stupid for getting it that wrong. But at the time, that well was totally sufficient and it worked great then, still works now. Recently, a couple years ago, I had the well pump went out. And this is just hope that this never happens to you, but if you're on a well, this does happen eventually, right? And so I had to have a guy come out, and they pulled the well pump. Shout out to B&B Waterworks. Those guys did an awesome job. They did not pay me to say that, by the way. So he does that, and, you know, it was this whole process. And he said, you're using a really small well pump, like horsepower capacity to like pump amount of water. I said, well, let's upgrade it, man. Because I've noticed that sometimes like when I'm taking a shower and somebody else is taking a shower and somebody else is running a hose outside, the water like goes down to like we don't have much water. And so I said, well, let's put a bigger pump in there. And then he looked deeper into it and said, actually, you only have because the shaft that's drilled by the drill goes to a certain depth. And not all of that depth has water in it, right? You drill until you hit water, and then you keep going a ways because you want to have depth of water. And he said, your shaft only has, I don't remember what he said, maybe he said 10 feet of water depth or something like that. Might have been less. And he said, that's a major problem for you because you need a lot of depth because you want a volume of water in this shaft. And if I put a larger well pump in there, you're going to not have sufficient water in that shaft to run water normally in your house. The way it works, of course, is it pumps water out of this column of water there in the shaft, and the water seeps in from the aquifer around it, right? From the karst systems, all the, you know, all the rock that's all around there. Water continues to flow back in through the pressure that's there in the system. But if you have a really big pump in a shaft that doesn't have a whole lot of depth of water, then you could actually pump it dry, and then you're running your pump dry and you destroy your pump, right? So he said, I can't put a bigger pump in there for you. I said, well, can we drill the well deeper? And he said, no, because your well was drilled in a way back then. It's all crooked and crazy, and you can't redrill it. So, like, if you ever wanted to go deeper, you'd have to just drill a new well. Well, why did this happen? It happened because there's more people at the lake than there were in 1952, right? There's more people using water out of the aquifer than there were in 1952. This is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, I guess I'm one of those more people, and a lot of folks watching this are some of those more people. Again, my family, I guess, has had that place for a while, but you know, we've like grown and people use more water and there's more people here, right? And so I have another situation, another family member who lives in Osage Beach, and they're on a community well that serves a little their neighborhood. They had a similar thing happen. They were having their well checked out, and they actually were having this problem so much that I believe they ended up drilling a new well. Again, once upon a time, the well that my grandpa drilled was deep enough, and there was a lot of water depth in there. I don't know how much, but more than now, right? Now, there's only 10 feet of water depth, and it's only going one direction, right? I mean, likely only going one direction. Again, this isn't necessarily a catastrophe. The Ozarks Aquifer, as, again, the AI-generated video, but a lot of people correctly point out, the Ozarks Aquifer has tons of water in it. I read one piece of data, you can fact check me on this, that the usage out of the Ozarks Aquifer is only like a single-digit percentage of the recharge rate. In other words, you know, if you had 100% of the recharge rate is like how fast water flows in. If you had 100% use out of versus the recharge rate, then you would, again, begin like, or if you went 101%, you would begin draining down the level of the aquifer in a way that it can't be replenished, right? So the use of the Ozark aquifer, this region right now is in the single digits. What I read was that it was like 2 or 3% of the recharge rate. In other words, there's nothing really to fear about that. It's just unfortunate for people who have shallow wells because more people live in this area than did 50 years ago when those wells were 70 years ago now when those wells were drilled. And so there probably will come a point at which you're going to have to just drill a deeper well, right? Again, it's not that's like, oh my gosh, we are almost out of water. But rather, the water table, you know, used to be up here and now it's here and it has all of this, you know, below, whatever. So all that to say, this is a real life illustration that I've experienced recently of the fact that water is indeed in a region, water is indeed a limited resource, right? We live in an abundant amount of it in the Ozarks, and that's awesome. But it is indeed a limited resource. So asking the question, how much water would this facility use, is a good question. And again, I didn't ever really mean to downplay the fact that that's a good question. People should be asking those kinds of questions. So those are a couple of the questions. The third one is the environmental, the pollution question. And really that one is it going to discharge things that are going to be harmful to the environment? Again, I think that's always a question of scale. Like you could say, well, does your car discharge things that are harmful to the environment or, you know, whatever, you know, people say cows do. I think that's debatable. I think cows are wonderful, but you know, it's like harmful in what ways? All these, but those are all the questions that people ought to be asking, right? What should this be discharging? And then also the pollution is sound pollution question. Is it going to be noisy? What I've read is that data centers, or at least some, can create basically kind of a hum sound. Well, how far away can you hear that, right? Is there sound mitigation that can be done that makes it to where, you know, somebody in the next valley would not ever know that it was there, right? If the answer to that is no, people in the surrounding, you know, mile radius are going to hear it, well, that would be a big concern, right? Versus an answer to that question being, yeah, there are sound mitigation to where, you know, if you're X distance away, I don't know, you know, a quarter mile away, you would never know that it was there. Well, at some point, I think some folks would say, oh, okay, well, if that can be solved, then I'm at least interested in hearing more. I know that there are some folks who would say, I do not care what your answers to those things are. I do not want a data center here. That's obviously their totally their prerogative to not want a data center here, right? But this is all to say, I think those are the questions that people are asking. I think those are great questions. And I'm going to be asking those questions too. My hope is to have the one of the people from the development team on the podcast later this week. I think I'm going to be interviewing them, and I'm going to air that as soon as possible. And I want to have other people that have that have information, thoughts, and influence in this arena to help answer some of these questions. This might all be a moot point because there may be no data center that's ever built here anyways, but this has obviously been a hot button issue at the lake, and it's a hot button issue across the country. And I think it's really good to ask the right questions about it. So again, thanks to everyone who's shown some grace to me and let me come out and clarify my position on that. I hope that it's well received. It genuinely means a lot to me that I have a lot of relationships in this community and that people know that I want to operate in good faith. I want to be a person who helps lead in asking good questions. It is always possible that my tongue might arrive in my cheek once more. My goal is to, if I ever am trying to be humorous, to do better at being humorous and not do it in a way that makes people feel like I just called them stupid. So thanks for watching Take on the Lake. Thanks for your support of Lake Expo, and really interested to see what is coming. So I hope that you stay tuned, and again, keep asking good questions, and let's keep looking for good answers. Stay anchored, stay curious. We'll see you soon.